thank you for this day that you've given. We thank you for the rain you've sent. We thank you for each family member's safety as they traveled to your house of worship this evening, to the traveling mercies. I pray you guide and direct in each family member's life. And I pray for the different prayer requests that we've already had, whether it be for the grief share, whether it be for missionaries. You know each and every particular situation and the prayer requests that need to be met, whether it be unsaved, whether it be physical, financial, or whatever it may be. You have your will be done there. I thank you for the folks you sent out this evening. I thank you for the dedication that they have and their constant search of knowledge to understand you, to try to understand better the Great Commission that we all share, each and every one of us. I thank you for this message that you laid upon my heart as well this evening. I pray for even surrendering. That's what we're going to be going over this evening. I thank you for that. I thank you for the actual definition of this, as Christians, we can understand and we can enjoy the fact of surrendering to you. And we thank you for the blood that your Son had shed on the cross for each and every one of our sins. All people, no matter from the beginning of time to the end of time, we thank you for that sacrifice and dedication that we see the mercy, the grace that we've been given, each one of us has been given each and every day. I thank you again for bringing everyone out. I pray this evening that your message will touch hearts, your will be done through everything that's said and done this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As you can understand from what I had a little bit of what I talked about before and the song I picked this evening, I Surrender All, we're going to look at the term as far as surrendering. We're going to surrendering, and we're going to go through a few different scriptures. I have a few here. There's a list of probably about 10 or 15, but we'll probably get through a few, at least 4 or 5 or 6, hopefully. But they all deal with some form of surrender. When I talk about the term of surrendering, what's the first word that actually comes to your mind whether it be the definition or whatever it may be? That's one. That's the way the world sees. That's why we were just talking about that on the way over. There's two different ways. I mean, as far as Christian, unsaved and unsaved, that's the difference. I mean, obviously, you know, that we have the definition of surrender. I mean, cease resistance and submit to authority. The world sees it as something to hate. I was the right there along with the rest of them. I mean, as far as submitting to authority, I had a problem with authority. And thus the choices that made were down along those lines, and took me down that path. But yes, that's what we, as far as submitting, we think giving up. That's what the world thinks. They think it means to give up. It means to submit to authority, whether whoever's the authority, matter whether it be a government's authority, teachers, policemen, whatever the authority may be, to submit to authority and to give up, like you said. A lot of folks may think, yeah, I mean, surrender when it comes to that, when it comes to war, conflicts, you surrender, whether it be the North and the South, World War I, II, Korean, Vietnam, somebody had to surrender for the victory to be established. Lee surrendered, obviously, in the Civil War. I mean, like I said, you can go down through history and see the surrender down through the Revolutionary War and everything else. But yes, I mean, cease resistance and submit to authority. That has a tendency to, the sin nature has a tendency to rebel against that submitting to authority. I mean, we were born into sin. I mean, obviously, since the fall of man in the garden. And you can see down through the pages of history, even through the Bible, centuries, that submitting to authority really wasn't along there. It really wasn't their repertoire. They really didn't like to submit to authority too well. Even Israel had a problem submitting. Right. Yes. Right. difference where I'm going with this this evening. Like you said, the world sees it as forced upon them, and when something's forced upon us, we have our human nature is a tendency to fight back. I mean, to have a tendency to fight back. And as Christians, like you said, it's not forced upon us, the salvation of Christ, to surrender the old man to the new man after we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's where our surrendering comes from, as far as surrendering that old man to the new man, whether it be whatever the case may be. I mean, each one of us surrender different things. I mean, whether it be impatience, whether it be anger, whether it be whatever the case may be. But I want to look tonight through a few verses here. I want to start in Psalms, if I could. We're going to hit a couple in Psalms 46. So if you turn with me to, please, Psalms 46. We'll look at verse 10. Actually made into a song by the Newsboys, Be Still and Know Me, Know That I'm God. It's an older one, back in the 90s I think he came out with it. But verse 10, Psalms 46 verse 10 says, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. When we think about surrender, he says, Be still and know that I'm God. We're surrendering. Be still. A lot. The world doesn't know what "be still" means today. I mean, they're running around, bouncing off the walls like ping pong balls, and everybody's so busy doing this, doing that, that we don't really take time to actually be still. But he says, "Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." The promises, both. But we still have to learn to understand how to be still. I have a problem with that, just the same as a lot of other folks, I think. We have a tendency to be moving along each and every day. I think I don't think I've gotten time to relax for a while because of things have been going on. But he just simply says, be still. I mean, surrender a bit of time. Take a short, brief span of time throughout the day for him. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yeah, I will be exalted among the heathen. I mean, if you look at the world the way that is chaotic as it is today, just be still and know that I am God. We should put a big enough smile on our face, because he said, I will be exalted among the heathen. No matter what is going on, what the heathen are doing, what the pagans are doing, he will be exalted among the unsaved, the same as he will the saved. I will be exalted in the earth. That means over all the earth. It doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what election's taking place, whether it be the election in this country, whether election in South Africa, wherever the case may be. He's exalted in all of the earth. But all you have to do is be still. Just take a minute and surrender a few moments' time, a few hours' time, a few hours of your day, maybe a whole day to help someone. Whatever the case may be, however that looks, the situation that you got, that we deal with each and every day in our lives, just take a minute and be still and know that he is God. I'm going to move along again to another Psalms 55, if you would. Should be a few chapters, not too many pages over. I want to look at Psalms 55 and verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. When I look at that, I think about the song, Truth Be Told, maybe from Matthew Best. He did the song, it says, Truth Be Told, but cast thy burden upon the Lord. How many times do we ask God to take it? I mean, we ask God to take it, we surrender. We may lay it down at his feet, but we as human beings, that human nature wants to pick it back up and run again with it. I mean, I don't mind picking up a bit of weight and running again with it. I mean, I'm in the gym, whatever, if I'm working out or anything else. But this talking about the things that we lay, the things that we surrender, whatever we surrender, whether it be, like I said, offends us, I mean, whether it be a short temper. I mean, if somebody pokes and prods the bear, in a sense, we have a tendency to strike back. It comes back to the same old thing when we're talking about the world, talking about surrender, or when you're talking about the world being forced. You don't like being forced, so we have a tendency to hit back, whether it be in words, whether it be in actions, deed, whatever the case may be, we have a tendency to hit back. But it says, cast all thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Promises is the same as he told us he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd never give us more than we can bear. Just as another promise that he said, cast the burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. He'll sustain the life. He'll sustain thee. He won't suffer the righteous to be moved like an oak tree. Just another form of surrender that isn't forced. Like you had mentioned, like the world thinks it takes that word. It's all context. It's all how it's used and how it's. I mean, you take the Catholics for. I'm not gonna. Just take the fact of Lent. They give something up for Lent, the season of Lent. Whether it be fast food, whether it be whatever the case may be. I've heard some pretty weird ones out there, but they've given up for Lent. In a form that's a form of surrendering. But like you said, in a form, it's almost like they're forced to, but the religion almost forces them because they celebrate Lent. Well, they have to do it. They have to give something up. I hear that too many times. I went to a Catholic high school in Central. It was over here by the hospital over there. I heard that all the time when Lent came around. I got to give this up. I got to give that up. Well, it takes practice. I mean, the surrendering doesn't happen like right now. I mean, you just don't give something and drop it and run. It's like a habit. I mean, if you really look at it, you can talk about a habit, an addiction or anything else. It's not going to happen. It doesn't happen right now. And it's it. You get to surrender the fact that it's gone. It takes practice to do just like it does, whether to play an instrument, to sing, to speak, whatever the case may be. It takes practice day in, day out. You have to actually put some effort behind the practice of surrendering whatever it is you want to give up. And constantly pray, stay in the Word, stay in God's Word each and every day that he'll help. Obviously, like he says, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. It is like an oak. So you'll stand like an oak. He'll help you through those times of trouble and trial and the struggles that you're going through as far as giving up, surrendering, whatever it may be, the old man, part of or all of the old man that we should surrender there. Now, I'm going to move along into Matthew, if you would. There was a couple verses in Matthew I want to look at. Matthew 6 will be the first. Matthew 6, verse 33 will be the first I want to look at in Matthew. Matthew 6:33. I think a lot of folks know this. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means whenever you seek first, when he's talking about seek ye first, it doesn't mean, well, when you get around to it, or maybe tomorrow, or maybe the next day. He says, seek ye first. You have to lay aside something, whether it be time. You have to surrender something, whether it be in your life, whether it be a ministry. I mean, if you want to surrender your life to a calling, whatever it may be, whether it be a missionary, whether it be calling to be a missionary, a pastor, a teacher, choir director, song leader, whatever the case may be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sounds more and more each and every time you hear a promise like this that surrendering is not so bad after all. Like you said, it's not the giving up part. We're not forced part. It's more an offering, I guess you would say, to Christ. We surrender, we lay it at His feet, and hopes not to pick it back up as said as far as what our human nature would like to do, and pick it back up and run with it. We have a tendency to do that. Like I said, I do it the same as a lot of other folks, and it comes right back around. His words come right back around to me every single time. It's like, yeah, I know. I gotta have to put it back down. I gotta let it go. I gotta set it down, let it go. Don't pick it back up again and walk away from it. Turn around 180 degrees and walk away from it, and whatever the case, whatever that may be in our lives. But that was Matthew 6:33, and now I want to go to Matthew 11, if I could, here for a minute. Matthew 11, verse 28. It's another one that familiar, a lot of folks may be familiar with. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's another wonderful promise. Who doesn't like a good? Who wouldn't like a whole night to be able to go to sleep at night and sleep all night long? I know I wouldn't mind, but it says, "I will give you rest." I mean, it says, "Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, laboring are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Once again, it talks about. I mean, it refers to as time, blocks of time. I mean, your time you give out as far as giving up time, whatever it may be, surrendering. Whether you have time to run the computer, or whether you have time to run the sound, whether you have time to lead the music, they're all times, blocks of time. But it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This has been another fabulous promise that he gives us as far as giving us rest. That would be, a lot of folks ask me whenever if they know in my testimony, they'll ask how some of the biggest questions, how I was able to, where the peace came from each and every day. And a simple fact of the matter is, God was the only reason for that peace that he's given, the grace and the mercy he gave me for that peace. I mean, a lot of folks make peace with death in their own way, but it comes down to the point is Christ is God is the one that gives you the strength, the grace, and the mercy to get through it. And the situation, whatever situations you find yourself in, but that's why you can lay your head down at night and go to sleep, even in the worst of situations, no matter where you may be, because there's that peace that, I mean, hey, if my heart stops beating, whether one way or another, whether someone causes it, or the heart attack causes it, or a stroke causes it, you're going to open your eyes in glory anyhow. But it's an automatic win for us. You cross that finish line, and it's an automatic win. You're going to open your eyes in glory no matter what. That's a lot better place than where most of us have been on this earth these past few years, decades, whatever you want to say. But that's the answer that I have for each and every one that asked me how I would be able to actually lay down and sleep at night, a whole night through, with a peace and understanding that can only come from God, and that's it. I mean, there's no other reason for it. But we're going to move along here into Luke. We're going to look at Luke 14, if you would. Turn with me to Luke 14, if you would. Verse 33, we're going to say, it says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Pretty much straightforward, plain straightforward. Christ is talking here. It says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." I mean, we can take that. I mean, it says whether or not you go into the next chapter and talk about the prodigal son or those that are denied discipleship beforehand, the pretext, the precursor of that verse itself. Whichever way you go with the reading, simply just give up all you have. Follow me. Give up everything that we have. I mean, we don't have to go out and sell. I'm not talking about go out and sell your house, go out and sell your cars, whatever the case may be, and just put a backpack on this to take a start a stroll across the country and maybe overseas, maybe that case may be. We're talking about those of, I mean, if you're called to be missionaries, if you're called to be pastors, preachers, teachers, whatever the case may be, I mean, give up what you have. I mean, they turn each one of his disciples turned from the. I mean, basically, they gave up the families, even the primary families. Peter, James, John. You look at the stories as far as fishermen go. They had a life. They had a prosperous life. And before Christ had came into their life, and they gave it up. Turned around 180 degrees and walked and followed him, followed Christ. It'd be amazing. I often think about how amazing this would have been to actually been on the earth at this time when Christ was on the earth and actually see the things that his disciples did, the apostles did, everybody that come in contact with him throughout his entire life. But once again, it's surrendering, like you said. It's not forced. It's not forced like the world thinks. I mean, that force is what bends, breaks people, and causes problems with it as far as no hope. People that I've seen with no hope, they're broken people. They don't know what to surrender. They don't know what to give up because they're stuck in an addiction, because they're stuck in habits. They're stuck in a lifestyle that they don't want to give up. So pure and simple, the old sin nature doesn't want to let go. The old man doesn't want to let go. But when we find Christ, that old man has to let go. You have to surrender to Christ, and that new man has to take over and take effect each and every day of our lives, no matter what. But like I said, when it comes down to surrendering, it's still a practiced art form. You have to do it. You have to practice it daily. Be staying God's word daily. Pray for help. Pray for Christ's help, God's help in whatever you're trying to surrender, whatever the fact may be. Short temper, impatience. It's a constant battle for myself with a short temper, with impatience, because I see how crazy the world is. The common sense isn't common anymore. Common logic doesn't work with people anymore. You can talk to someone with common logic and you can tell it went in one ear and out the other, and it didn't stop in between. And it upsets me. I mean, because of the time that I came, even the time our generation was one of the last generations that came up through the 90s and everything else that actually thought, used common sense. They knew what common sense was, and they didn't view it as a foreign language or an abstract viewpoint or theory that was looking to be proven by some sort of absolute truth out there that people just spout off no matter what. And it gets on the, I mean, whether it be at work. I mean, I went back to work at the factory I came from before I went up to help them guys up in Sheffield. And I mean, we all have problems, whether it be factories, whether it be resale, wholesale, wherever you may work. You deal with a different set of problems. Each and every place has its own set of problems. You trade one set of problems for another whenever you leave one job and go work at another. But like I said, it comes down to practice. You have to surrender the time. You have to surrender the place as far as getting into God's word, getting on your knees along with him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whatever the case, whatever is best for you. But practice, I mean, getting alone with him each and every day, whether it be in his word and praying and asking his help. I mean, there's numerous promises all through the Bible that he gives us. We looked at a few just this evening. But surrendering, like I said, it's not easy. But it's not forced for us. For Christians, it's not forced. For the world, they don't like it too well. Mom. it's a mindset, it's a choice. Once again, it all comes down to we have freedom, we have free will, freedom of choice, and that's what you do with that choice, on how what the choice is. It's a mindset. It is. The military, they whatever they throw you into, whatever hole they throw you into, you're supposed to, the big thing is adapt and overcome. You adapt to whatever place they put you in and overcome, no matter what it takes. It's willpower when it comes to the choice. Yes? Anything else? Questions or comments anymore? It's better not to make a promise. I think I can't remember exactly where that's located in the scripture. I think better not to promise, make a promise to God, than to break it. If you, I can't remember how it's worded exactly or where it's at. But in a sense, it talks about it's better not to promise anything than to break one. Yes, that's a perfect example. Like I said, I know they see the end whenever the end. When you have Lent, it's a certain season. It only lasts a certain season. It's like going to the gym. I could laugh. Okay, you have people that come in the first. They make the old New Year's resolution. They're there for maybe a week, 2 weeks, and then it starts tapering off, and they disappear again. they want to make it last for a few months, a few weeks, whatever the case may be. But they set short-term goals. But yes, it's the same with Lent. It's a short term. It'd be a short term surrender, short term goal, in a sense. But yes. Anybody else? Yeah. Dad. Join me in prayer then, please. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you for each and every the family members. I thank you for the open minds. I thank you for the minds that we have here, that for the knowledge that as far as goes, surrendering, each and every one of us have something to surrender, whether when we surrender the old man to the new man, when the time came when we accepted Christ, or whether after we've accepted Christ, we have something along the lines of impatience, or whatever the other case may be, whether we have something else to surrender. It's a process. It's a work. It's a work in process for each and every one of us, each and every day. As long as we stay in your word, as long as we stay on our knees in prayer to you, you would, like you said, there's so many promises. You never leave us nor forsake us. You never give us more than we can bear. As promises we looked at this evening, you're going to help us to stand firm as your children, one of your children. I thank you again for each of them, one of your children that are here this evening. I pray for as we leave this evening that you give traveling mercies throughout the remainder of the week and wherever we go, whatever we do and whatever we say. I pray your will be done and everything is spoken